Yeah. Hour number four, the final hour of the Rob Brown Radio Program goes right now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Fan Upstate. How do y'all welcome in? I am Rob Brown, the group, and Lonzo is on the other side of the metaphorical glass this AM, pushing the button, switching the switches, making the show sound as good as it does, and just putting on a masterclass of triggering me, I believe is the verb we use nowadays. On the show today. Hey, Mario, hating ass Mario, Mario Heron, executive producer of Bet for the Cycle every Saturday from noon to four, and NBA / NFL analyst for the BetQL Network. Right now, you've got to make a decision. You can pick one of these two quarterbacks to thrive or fail for your team next year. You can have one and only one, and you are coaching for your job, Caleb Williams or Justin Fields. Right now,
Caleb Williams, every single time, 10 times out of 10. No trick question.
Wow. Like you didn't Mario's know what he was going to say. Good for you.
I am right again.
No, see, two
Caleb's
people can
the
also
better
be wrong.
QB. Oh, dude, I nailed that. That was
you
silky
think
smooth.
So? A little pitchy, dog.
Silky smooth.
That's a no for me.
All right. Like Seacrest, calm down. Quit blowing my phone up. All right. Mario Heron from the BetQL Network, a.k.a. Hatin' Ass Mario, joins us here on the Rob Brown Radio Program and the Fan Upstate. We've been heavy on the draft today, Mario, talking a lot about the quarterbacks. And, you know, I've said, look, you're in Chicago now. You're as equipped to talk about this as anybody. Matt Eberflus had some success late in the year. I still don't understand why they think that guy is the guy, but I understand Chicago. As much as I still think you gave up on Justin Fields probably earlier than you should have, I think the situation's perfect for him in Pittsburgh to have the opportunity to prove that. But if you're in the spot that Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus are in right now, you got to go get. I still think Jaden Daniels is a better quarterback.
By the
but you
way,
go
really,
get
really quick, if you're just listening on the radio and you're not watching on the stream, you should be watching on the stream. Mario has a Chicago Bears helmet in his background.
He's in Chicago.
Which means he's going to be pro whatever they say. Yeah, that's his team, so yeah, they're going to make the right decision because it's his team. He's got to believe and hope and pray and all those things that they are making the right decision.
He doesn't get paid to cover the Bears.
Yeah, I don't get paid for biased information. Look, first off, that helmet's from my grandpa to my father, not to me. # Heron family, let's go. And second, it's just you got to go with Caleb Williams. I mean, what's the hate on Caleb Williams, Lonzo? What's the hate? It's just because he has a pink phone? I like pink phones. Sean O'Malley has pink stuff. He knocks everyone out.
By the
out.
Way, everyone throws pink that out there like the pink thing has anything to do with it. People around here obviously know the reason why I have a problem with it, because where did the former quarterback go to college?
If Justin Fields wasn't a Buckeye, Lonzo would be all on board. I appreciate his admitting it, at least. Like,
I don't know that that's for sure, but definitely one of the reasons why I have a problem with this move is because of that, for sure.
Respect it. I do. Hey, let's talk play-in. Basketball first and foremost. Mario, if Zion doesn't get hurt last night, the Pelicans win that game.
Oh, true. True statement. True all the way. Especially, I texted you 5:48 left.
Yep.
LeBron versus Zion. He gets a huge block, gets the stop, goes down, scores on the other end. He has a 40-point burger. Lakers had no answers for him. It would have been a Pelicans W if he stayed on the floor. And if Brandon Ingram decided to show up at any point in the game and decided to be anything that he wanted to be. I understand that he was hurt. I understand that he wasn't 110%. But that being said, dude didn't play, the last 5-6 minutes of that game? Like, didn't even become valuable to the team at that point. Zion's healthy, or B.I. decides to attribute to the team, 100% the Pelicans win that game.
Yeah, this is all because the Lakers had an 18-point lead, and then they showed how old they are. If they weren't as old as they are right now, they would have blew the Pelicans out of the water.
I mean, yeah, if you lined them up against the 2020 Lakers, it's a different game. Turns out they weren't available because that was four seasons ago.
LeBron played as well as he needed to win this game.
I would argue, who the hell are you? Mario. I would argue.
I've been having this effect all day.
Yeah, it's a struggle today.
My bad.
Discombobulated. I would make the argument, as much as, yes, I could have dealt with some BI help here and there, CJ McCollum going from a guy that was averaging 30.5 points a game for seven consecutive coming out and going 1 of 9 from behind the arc was it. I need you to go 3 of 9, 33. Yeah. I'm not asking for an all-star night. I'm not asking for a night that we sing songs about in the Big Easy for years to come. I just needed you to be 33%, not 10 from the floor, and the Pelicans are on their way to the Denver Nuggets.
Especially you'd expect that album, right? Like, that guy's a veteran. He's been in a lot of playoff battles. He's been in a lot of big playoff moments. He's been part of a Western Conference Finals run. He's been a part of a lot of big things. You'd expect him to at least give you 17 in that night, not give you 9. Like, you'd expect him to be a huge playmaker. You'd expect him to, you know, if Zion doesn't get hurt, also to that factor, CJ McCollum's on the bench to finish that game, you know? Like, that's just the truth of the situation. There's something to be said about the Lakers' age. I get that, Lonzo, and like the comeback, but I think also too that is I could attribute also to a very young team that the bench decided to step up when the starters didn't, and I think that can also attribute to how the Pelicans kind of came back in this game. That being said, if Zion's healthy, I think the Pelicans can still win and stay in the playoffs. But if Zion's not healthy, I think Sacramento is going to have a dance with the Thunder.
All right, let's talk about the other one that took place last night. You mentioned it, the Sacramento Kings knock off Golden State. I think at this point, the majority of us feel like the Golden State dynasty took the final bullet last night. They are cooked. On the flip side, I really like this Kings team. I love Zabonis. I love De'Aaron Fox. Keegan was out there absolutely yoking last night. Like, there's not a part of Sacramento's game that really lacks, and they show that. Well, that was not an awful effort from the Dubs. The Kings are just a good, solid young team right now.
Yeah, they're a solid team, and there's a couple of mistakes that I thought Steve Kerr made that I just didn't really understand. One was the early play of Trayce Jackson-Davis and had him guard a wing. He just, one, not comfortable at all guarding a wing. He looked uncomfortable. He was exposed in that, and I think that was a big failure by the Warriors just to start off that game. But the Kings had guys step up. Keegan Murray obviously had a huge game in 32 points when the year before he was a guy that was a rookie and just looked really lost on the playoff floor and just looked like a guy that was getting pretty overwhelmed by the moment. He wasn't overwhelmed by the moment this time. So Bonus obviously did his damage. Fox did his damage. And look, this is a team that I think was really hyped for the moment. This is a team that there's a little bit of a California rivalry where they really wanted to bring into the Warriors, and they did. I think, you know, I think I'll kind of disagree with you a little bit, Rob, where I think it was more that moment of this is a chance to take out the top Californian team of the past 10 years. Let's freaking do it. Let's knock them out. You know, I think it was more of that than like this team's really built for success. I also worry that, you know, Malik Monk, as of right now, is probably not going to be around for the first round of the playoffs. That takes away a lot of their bench scoring, takes away a lot of their scoring overall. Them, you know, beating the Pelicans and facing the Thunder. If I'm the Thunder, I thought I'm sitting here going, this is the best case scenario for us. This is the team we always wanted to play in the first round. A team that's not fully healthy right now. That team that we know we can beat versus I would not want to play the Lakers. I would not want to play the Warriors. I would not want to play the Pelicans. So I think it's going to be an overall pretty good beat for the Thunder. And if I'm pretty happy, if I'm an OKC fan.
All right, so obviously Sacramento still does have to win one more game, and as much as I hate to say it, dude, it comes down to Zion. If the guy can go in, yeah, in Thursday night, then I think the Pelicans win that basketball game. If Zion is out for any length of time, if Zion's going to miss that game, he's out for the offseason because it will be offseason time for New Orleans. I don't see a road to victory for New Orleans that doesn't include Zion Williamson, even though the Pellies have at this point gotten used to playing without him. Without that guy on the floor, Sacramento's going to the 8th seed.
Yeah, no, 110%. And I think it's one, I just wanted to congratulate, and if I could give a high five, maybe even a hug to him, I would. Lonzo, the Warriors are officially dead. Klay Thompson had 0 points, and I imagine that your heart is filled with happiness. It's filled with joy, and you're happy to, you know, put them in a grave a little bit, bury them.
Yeah, it's hard for me to convey the joy in my heart. And normally I do not laugh out loud, but I have been doing that all show long. So that just shows you how excited I am for this to be happening, and the fact that Binky Boy went home and Clay's going somewhere else and Draymond's going to be on the sideline somewhere, and that dynasty is now officially over.
It sickens me. It sickens me. It makes me feel ill to listen to that. All right, let's talk about the games in the East tonight. We can get into Atlanta and Chicago. It doesn't matter who wins that game. They're getting bounced in the second round. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, doesn't matter at all. So I'm a Bulls fan. Doesn't matter.
Let's talk about the Sixers and the Heat. The Sixers did list Joel Embiid as questionable for this game, Mario, but from what I understand, it's more precautionary than it is anything else. He is expected to be a full go. The Sixers, with a healthy Joel Embiid, have the third shortest odds in the East to win the NBA championship, and that is as a 7 seed in a play-in game. They're the team I'm betting on out of the East because I don't trust Boston. There are some other good teams out there. I don't think as good as Eric Spoelstra has been as a playoff coach, as good as playoff Jimmy Buckets can be, I just don't think they've got the guys around him. Terry Rozier being out with neck spasms is a big problem. And I'm looking around the rest of the teams in the East. There's some teams I like. I like Tyrese Halliburton in Indiana. There's some teams that I like. But with a healthy Joel Embiid, the 76ers have got to be one of the favorites to put a bet on.
Definitely one of the favorites to put a bet on. When they were kind of on the run this year before Embiid got hurt, I was a big stan of, I think this is can finally be the Sixers' year because I'm a big Nick Nurse guy. I mean, he's just a defensive genius. I think he was getting finally the best out of the team. And someone that you didn't mention there, Rob, is like Tyrese Maxey. The step he's taken this year without James Harden has been monstrous. And if you even look at the past two games against the Heat and those wins for the Sixers, they were wins dominated by Maxey. 37 points in the last one, in a close comeback when they pulled it off. And he's been someone that the Heat haven't been able to solve. All that being said, Eric Spoelstra drinks the Michael Jordan juice, Michael Jordan water in Space Jam, and he turns into something. Jimmy Butler does the same. Bam Adebayo does the same. I hate this guy more than anything. Tyler Hero kind of does the same. And then these guys change, and they form into these big monsters, and they dominate teams, and they make every situation suffering and have these defensive schemes that creates nightmares for every star player. I'm going to take him to cover tonight, 5.5. So I think he can cover. I don't think they'll win this game, though. Like you said, a healthy Embiid's a scary team. I'm still all in on the Celtics, though. Like, I am all in on the Celtics. I think this is the Celtics East. I think they walk through the East. Like, they're first in bench net rating this year. Like, their bench is fantastic. The first in offense rating, second defensive rating, first in net rating. Best record against teams with a 500 record or better. They are a juggernaut. This is the most talented team they've had in a very long time, and it's a strong defensive team. It's a strong offensive team. I think they walk through the East.
What has changed? Because the C's have been in similar spots the last handful of years, and there's just always a choke job somewhere down the line, right? And I don't know if it's, like I said, I think Philadelphia could be it. If Philly loses to Miami, if Philly finds a way to lose to Miami, and then they beat Atlanta or Chicago Friday, and they catch the 8 seed and go up against Boston in round one, like, convince me that Joel Embiid and the Sixers can't win that game, can't win that series based on what we see Boston do every single year, which is get here, convince us all they're for real this time, and then not be for real this time.
I think it's a fact of you substituted Drew Holiday for Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart's a fantastic player, but, you know, Charles Barkley says it's on all our promos. He's not a true point guard. And in big moments, he tends to go for himself and not for the team. We saw many times last year where Marcus Smart thought he was the one that should be taking the shot to win the game. He shouldn't be. It should be Jason Tatum. It should be Jaylen Brown. Or it should be Derek White. And I would say Derek White before Porzingis and Drew Holiday. And you substitute Drew Holiday, who's a very unselfish point guard. He's one of the best wing defenders in the league. And Porzingis, who's a great three-point shooter. He's a great individual scorer himself. That also elevates the Celtics team. And I think also ahead in this playoffs, we've seen this year kind of different Jason Tatum. And in that moment, too, I think we are in a Tatum that's going to be a little bit more relaxed. I feel like he can take control, because I think sometimes with Marcus Smart, a lot of times last year, he didn't feel like he could, because Smart always took it as minute left. I got it. It's me. And it's like, buddy, it's not you. You know, you are a 3-and-D guy. Just stay in that lane. And I think Drew Holiday kind of understands that better. It's another year for Mazzulla that as a head coach to kind of be more mature. And I think he learned a lot in that first year. We gave him a lot of crap. He still made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I think that makes this team all but different. And at the bottom of the line, they're healthy. They're a healthy team. You mentioned the Heat, they're not healthy. The Sixers, they're not healthy. The Knicks, Brunson's going to get hunted here soon, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, just stay tuned. Pacers don't play enough defense. They're not ready. Magic's too young. It's the Celtics. It's the Seas. It's Boston. My grandpa's going to be very pumped when they make it to the NBA Finals before they get washed by a Western Conference team.
Out of pick your poison either side, regardless of which direction you want to go, give me not a one seed. To me, Denver, Cody Decker and I have said this on Bet for the Cycle on Saturdays a bunch of times, Mario. Denver never feels like they hit the accelerator. Like they just cruise controlled to a two seed. And I'm to the point now, as big of a Denver guy as I've been all year, because I love Jamal Murray, I love Nikola Jokic, I enjoy watching their game, I'm almost to the point where I'm going, okay, was I wrong? Is it that they never hit the accelerator, or they just don't have that same last gear that they had last year, and that's why they're a two seed and not a one seed in the West? Is Denver the two seed, the most dangerous, not one seed? Is there a four or five Dallas with Luka somewhere that you think is the program that might shock everybody? Is there a play-in team you could think to make some noise? Because Zion comes back healthy. Zion goes out there and they beat Sacramento, which they've done every time they've lined up with Sacramento for like the last 2 years in a row. I'll take the Zion-led Pelicans if they are playing well with B.I. and C.J., which they did not last night. But if that team clicks like they were clicking when they went on the road and beat Sacramento, when they went on the road and they beat Golden State, and they beat all these teams to get in, like, tell me that team can't beat. Not won't, but can't beat a team like Oklahoma City. I feel like the parity is real good this year on both sides with the exception of Boston. Who's the team lower than a one that you think is the big surprise playoff run?
So obviously, like, first and foremost, it is like the Nuggets just get that way. It's just because the reigning champs, they have the best player in the NBA. So I think it's very hard to like not save them. But then that would just ruin this exercise 110%. So I'm going to go something a little bit more fun because they like to have fun. To me, it's the Timberwolves, 110%.
The same team that like 3 weeks ago, you're like, oh, this team's going to tank. They're done. They're toast. No Cat. They're in trouble. That same Timberwolves?
It worried me. It worried me. No Cat. I didn't know what's going to happen. But then Anthony Edwards said, hey, I forgot. You know, I'm kind of a beast. I'm kind of like one of the top five best players in the NBA. By the way, if you want, 3 minutes left in the game, you better hope I'm not on the floor. I didn't know Anthony Edwards had all that in him, and now I know he has all that in him. I think it's them 110%. You rewind last year. I was pressing the crazy button on Cat, saying that they were the best matchup for the Nuggets, that the Nuggets' hardest series was them, and the Nuggets even said, yeah, actually the hardest series was against them. And you look at this team now, a year older, a team that's healthier than they were a while ago. But even when Cat was out, like, this is a team that was still 17-10 since All-Star break. Like, they still fine. Like, they still figure it out. And then there's still another level for them to go. They're tied for the best record against teams that are 500 or better. They're defensively, they're a nightmare for every team. They're second defensive rating. Offense, they kind of take a dip. But again, that was due to a lot of Cap being out. That's going to change with Cap being in there. To me, it's the Timberwolves are the other team that can win the West. I think it's between them and the Nuggets. Teams I wouldn't be surprised by. The last time Luka had an amazing second scorer with him that could carry the team when he was on the bench and he didn't have to do everything was Jalen Brunson, and they ended up being pretty good and go to the West Conference Finals. That wouldn't surprise me. They have a hard matchup getting past the Clippers, but Clippers think that they can just turn everything on and they're good, and that's going to come back and hurt them. I wouldn't be surprised by the Mavericks. Would be surprised by the Suns because I'm anticipating an injury and anticipating an epic collapse. I'm anticipating Beal going, hey, guys, I'm hurt. Now I'm just anticipating that. And Nurkic to have four fouls within 4 minutes, and then he's out for the rest of the game, and then they just don't have a center, and then they get dominated on the inside. So I think it's Timberwolves, Nuggets are the teams I feel 100% confident they can win the West. The team I wouldn't be surprised by, Mavericks, kind of the Clippers. I'm just going to cheer for the Clippers because I love Kawhi, and that's insane, but I do.
Kawhi getting added to the Olympic team. Big fan of that.
Big fan.
Love that.
Surprised.
Hating ass Mario Heron. He is an NBA analyst for the BetQL Network. He also joins us every Wednesday to talk NBA ball. And next, you know what? Next week we're going to do some NBA ball, but we'll talk some draft too. What are the Chargers doing?
Dude, I've gone back and forth so many different times. I've heard so many different things, but I'm anticipating a trade back 110% with the Vikings. But I think it's all determined, too, about what the Cardinals are going to do. If the Cardinals don't trade, they trade. Cardinals do trade, they're going to stay right there. I think they're going to get Marvin Harrison Jr. But if Cardinals do, so keep that in mind. Do trade, Marvin Harrison Jr. Don't trade, they're trading back and getting an offensive lineman, and I'm sad. But then it'll probably get another pick.
I like it. Mario Heron, you can find him on Saturdays with me and Cody Decker on Bet for the Cycle on the BetQL Network. Appreciate you, big fella. Talk to you next week.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. Great seeing you guys. Look as good as always. No one looks better in the morning than you two, gentlemen.
He's right. He's absolutely right.
I don't blame him. See you next week, big dog.
See ya.
Mario Heron from the BetQL Network. He will rejoin us next Wednesday. We'll talk some more draft. We will talk more NBA because we'll be in the playoffs at that point. When we come back, a bit of news for Lamont Paris. A big get, a big acquisition for the South Carolina Gamecock men's basketball team. We'll tell you about it when we come back on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Texter said, why don't dinosaurs make good pets? Because they're dead, like the Warriors. Lulz. good one.
Very good one.
You want to win in college sports, there's a handful of things you got to do. And one of the things that most people think is on that list is you got to win on the home front. You got to make sure that the best, most talented players from your own backyard are on your roster. It is something that Clemson has done over the years. It has been a struggle for South Carolina to keep up in that department, mainly because it forces you to have to go recruit outside of your state. That's tougher to do. Well, Lamont Paris has figured that out. He did it with Gigi Jackson. Now he has done it with one of the top shooting guards in the class of 2024 in Cam Scott. The 6'5" senior out of Lexington High has committed to the South Carolina Gamecocks. He decommitted from the University of Texas, where he has been committed since last August. He said, quote, it just felt like the best situation for my family at this time. Obviously, distance became a factor with my prior recruitment and relationship with Coach Paris and his staff. It's made this transition that much smoother for my family and loved ones, end quote. Cam Scott is a four-star prospect, ranked as the number 34 overall player in the 2024 class. He is also the number 7 shooting guard nationally and the number 1 ranked player in the state of South Carolina. On3 Sports has this write-up as his scouting report. Quote, Cam Scott is a lengthy wing prospect with a lot of pop. The natural tools are very impressive all the way around. Scott has a mature game, plays within the flow of the offense, rarely forces things. The jump shot release can be cleaned up a little, but the pull-up is smooth. Since the summer, Scott has developed his footwork and handle in the half court, creating space to elevate into his jumper. Scott can take over a game and carry his team. Would like to see him develop the comfort to take a more aggressive alpha role on his team. He is very efficient in his game. His ability to score with the less is more approach is mature. Strength will come, and he is tracking as one of the top players in the 2024 class, end quote. This is a get for Lamont Paris. It is a get because you are keeping a South Carolina kid at home. It is a get because the Texas Longhorns, a team that is trending very much upwards in the land of college basketball, have just gotten the cupboard robbed by Lamont Paris. And it is a get because you are adding to a spot that South Carolina needed desperately last year, which was the mid-range jumper, which was somebody that could take the ball, penetrate, and either hit the pull-up or demand defenses come outwards to him. And that's what Cam Scott is. I like this pickup for him. I like this pickup for Lamont Paris. I like this pickup for South Carolina. You get a guy to stay home, and you get a guy that adds a facet to the offense that I think South Carolina, to some degree, was missing last year. You add him to a Colin Murray Boyles. You add him to some of the guys that have been able to play the post the last couple of years for South Carolina, and all of a sudden, you've got a three-pronged threat. This is an enormous pickup. This is a fantastic pickup for Lamont Paris. Own the state. And this is in that direction. Lamont has had a couple of coups in the state of South Carolina the last couple of years. And if you can keep this sort of recruiting heat turned up, especially at a point where, let's not mince it up here, your in-state rival just went to the Elite Eight. Your in-state rival got taken down by the best team in the Southeastern Conference in the Elite Eight in a very good game. This is a spot where a guy like a Brad Brownell could really start to make some headway in recruiting the state. So for South Carolina, a team that did make the tournament but disappointingly got bounced in the opening round, to be able to come off of that and immediately start grabbing headlines like this one, that's real good news. That's real good news for him in this spot. I love this. I love this pickup. I love this player in this offense. I think Lamont Paris's offenses are kind of predicated around that. That's why you saw the blow up of guys like Colin Murray Boyles, especially going into the tournament, going through the SEC tournament. I like this pickup. You steal a guy from Texas, you keep him in the house. And he's not the only one. It's a year off, but Eli Ellis, a four-star point guard for the 2025 class out of Moravian Prep in North Carolina, chose the Gamecocks over a final group of College of Charleston, VCU, Mississippi State, and Virginia Tech. He is the number 99 overall prospect in the 2025 cycle, but he is the number 17 point guard prospect and the number 4 player in the state of North Carolina. I think that the Carolinas are, fairly or unfairly, when it comes to basketball, they are lumped together. And it makes sense, right? It makes sense that they are. But they're lumped together, so if you can start making headwaters into North Carolina, into basketball country, specifically in the north side of North Carolina, it shows you're on the map. Ella said, quote, "I chose South Carolina because my whole life I've been an underdog. That's where I thrive, and that's when I'm my best. South Carolina are the underdogs, and everybody loves an underdog. I also choose USC because of how much it reminded me of home. On my visit, it felt like I had to go there." Talking about the staff, he said, quote, "I love the coaching staff at South Carolina. Another reason I chose USC was how much Coach Paris believed in me. Nobody thinks I can play in the SEC, but Coach Paris knows I can. Coach Buckley is a great guy and has been talking to me the whole way, and so is everybody else on the staff. They all have a great bond and treated me like family," end quote. Gives you an outside shooter. Again, this is a year off. Year off before Ellis gets in there. But I think the point here is, when you add Cam Scott for this upcoming year, when you add Eli Ellis for next year, you are looking at a team that, as far as I am concerned, has done a very good job of addressing where they came up short last year in their tournament run. That's fantastic. That's a great pickup, a couple of great pickups for South Carolina. You add players from within the market, from within the area, from within the state. What do you want? Lamont Paris has earned trust of players. Lamont Paris is not just, he's not just getting guys, but he's getting marquee guys, and he's getting marquee guys that fit within the system. CMB just had one of the best freshman seasons that I have seen. That I'll say you guys, because again, I'm not gonna lie, I'm 4 years deep into covering South Carolina athletics. You guys have seen more and talked more about these teams than I have over the years. But I have had folks that have said to me, "Hey, look, CMB just had one of the best freshman seasons that a power forward freshman has had for the Gamecocks in a very long time. And now you bring him back. You're going to throw Cam on the opposite side from him. Now we're keeping a look on the transfer portal. The recruiting is going very, very well. Like, this is huge. This is a big deal for South Carolina basketball. I like this pickup. Congratulations to Lamont Paris for nabbing Cam Scott away from Texas and bringing him back home. That's a solid pickup. All right, we will address that more as we get closer to college basketball season. Obviously, just around the corner from right now. Got a few more things that I would like to run through on the show. Here is one. Speaking of NIL, this one is interesting. When the NIL era began, a lot of discussion went into how much impact, if any, should schools be able to have directly on the NIL multiverse, if you will. And initially it was none, and then it was, well, they can work with collectives, but they still got to have hands off, whatever. The NCAA's NIL working group has introduced a proposal that, if passed, would allow schools to provide, quote, assistance and services, end quote, to their athletes in pursuit of NIL opportunities, including identifying opportunities for them, as well as potentially facilitating deals with third parties on behalf of the athletes. The proposal, according to Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports, is, quote, on a parallel track and interconnected with the NIL protections legislation that the council adopted in January. That legislation, one, creates a voluntary registration process for NIL professional service providers, such as agents and advisors. Two, a disclosure database of athlete NIL deals of $600 or more. And three, standardized NIL contracts, as well as a comprehensive educational plan, end quote. So we are effectively moving in a direction in which the schools are not only going to be allowed to, but it almost feels like they would be mandated to be very hands-on with NIL dealings for their athletes moving forward. Basically, you are going to create a spot where the schools are going to be able to not just get involved, but potentially organize and orchestrate NIL deals on behalf of their athletes, not make money off of them. But again, even though, yes, 9 out of 10 times, if an organization's going to get involved in something, they are doing it so that they can make that money. Obviously, that's how most decisions in the land of adults are made. There are times, pardon the influencer language, where exposure matters. And this is one of those times. The value in taking 10% out of a $600 NIL deal, the value there is not as great as the value as helping your student athletes orchestrate, organize, and execute good NIL deals so that they go out there and go, hey, South Carolina's athletics department was phenomenal in helping me maximize my NIL potential, and having future student athletes go, well, that's kind of a big deal to me. That's kind of something that I want to make sure I have the best chance at when I get to school, is maximizing my potential NIL value. And that's what this is about. Or at least that's how it feels to me on the surface. This is about creating. We talked about that database the NCAA is looking at a couple of weeks ago, where you go, you get that NIL deal with Bob's Used Cars. And after your NIL deal with Bob's Used Cars, you can pop into this database and go, I just got a $1,000 a month NIL deal with Bob's Used Cars. And they made the negotiations very simple. They paid me what I believe to be a fair rate for my services, for my brand. and the paychecks came in on time, and I didn't have to fight them for money, and they really took care of me, Bob's Used Cars did, and I very much appreciate that out of them. And now South Carolina kids or recruits can go look at that database, and they can see that Bob's Used Cars did a great job. Or the opposite is true as well. They go to Columbia, they get hooked up with Hank's Used Appliances, and Hank goes out there and, you know, he offers him a $250 a month NIL deal. And then this kid down the line finds out that that was dramatically lower than his market value. And the negotiations were a pain in the rear end. And after the negotiations were done, they had to go fight Hank's Used Appliances to get their paycheck in on time or whatever. Well, if I'm a kid that's looking at recruiting and I see that there are a bunch of NILers there in Columbia that are giving athletes a real hard time, that might make me turn my eyes away. And now, if this new legislation goes through, the schools would be able to assist and maybe keep that reputation down to a minimum, which frankly is good for everybody. I don't have an issue with any of this. I don't have an issue with the schools getting involved. I don't have an issue with the schools coming up with ways to make sure that, because it is just important that their reputations, that their area's reputation, that their school's reputation is protected from bad faith NIL actors, because if it is, that's harmful to everyone. And they ain't trying to be about that life either.
I wish I had something to argue about, but I don't. This is a natural progression. This is something that needs to happen. If NIL is going to continue to exist, and it will, you've got to find a way to regulate things. And this is a step towards that.
I think that, great one, there is not a group of entities in the game that are going to care more about the kids getting treated fairly and about the reputation of the school and the area when it comes to recruiting and whatnot. I don't think there is an entity that has a reason to do a better job and make sure the landscape is fair than the schools themselves. If NIL stuff starts going sour on these schools down the line, they will get dinged and damaged potentially more than the athletes themselves. I think, to me, it makes perfect sense to have the schools involved. Not from the perspective of taking money off the plates of the chairman, but protecting the image, protecting the brand within that market. The schools have, frankly, probably more to lose than the players themselves. Because if it gets out there that if you go to UT Austin, There's a bunch of NIL folks out there who do not have your best interest at heart, and you're a mama bear that's looking to decide where your kid's going to go play ball in conjunction with your kid, because let your kid go where your kid wants to go, obviously. And you get on this database and you find out that there's a bunch of shady characters down in Austin, Texas, taking advantage of student athletes, and the school's just letting it happen. I'm very much less inclined to let old RB4 go play linebacker there. I think it makes perfect sense. Let's take a break. We'll come back here in just a minute. Run through a couple of quick hitter stories on the way out. We'll ask what the X is going on, and we will call it a day. Rob Brown, the great Milanzo, and you, the Rob Brown Show, carries on and wraps up next right here on the Fan Upstate. Wrapping up the Rob Brown radio program here on the Fan of State. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob and Lonzo wrapping up. Why am I talking like that?
I don't know why you're suddenly speaking like this. Welcome into the fine program.
Welcome to the Bob Dylan Sports Hour. I don't know where that came from. I don't think I'm okay. As Lonzo has pointed out to me, the blood pressure has been spiked. Like a handful of times today. And that's okay. Sports are a big deal, all right? Sports are a big deal. Hey, coming up on tomorrow's show, it'll be 1 week away from the National Football League Draft, which means it's time for us to start getting very serious, not just talking about the quarterbacks, all right? Quarterbacks get enough love. They get enough attention. They're the conversation going on every show.
So you're saying no quarterbacks tomorrow?
No, we're not talking quarterbacks tomorrow.
Okay, none at all.
No quarterbacks tomorrow.
We'll see.
Probably no quarterbacks tomorrow.
That's probably a smart move.
I think probably is going to be the way that we go.
The plan is no quarterbacks tomorrow.
The plan is no. I feel like the quarterback discussion has been driven into the ground, right? The quarterback discussion has been going since the end of the college football season. And there is a reason for it. It is the most important position in the National Football League. That's not a debate.
Just not tomorrow.
Just not tomorrow. Am I missing something? Am I already unaware of something that is going to happen tomorrow that I'm just not thinking about that is going to demand conversation about quarterbacks?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
So hope that's not like an ill omen or something. I mean,
I tell you what I would like to talk about. I would like to talk about Brock Bowers. I would like to talk about the tight end position. I would like to talk about the resurgence. By the way, good news for Lonzo. Travis Kelce has accepted a job to host a game show on Netflix. So he's totally dialed in right now. Are you getting the vibe Travis Kelce's like ready to wrap it up and just go be a celebrity?
Why do you think earlier, like a month or so ago, or whenever it was, I said that Kansas City should draft Brock Bowers?
You have been saying that.
Yes, because I believe this is Kelce's last year. He hasn't said that, but I mean, things outside of football are drawing him. Much like when a wrestler suddenly starts showing up on TV shows and things, and then you know they're going to Hollywood, it's the same sort of thing.
My man's got himself the world's most famous woman as a girlfriend. He's got himself a new game show that he is going to host. By the way, can I also say, as somebody who was introduced by the great one to the New Heights pod not terribly long ago, Jason's the cooler brother.
He is.
Jason's the better.
Travis tries too hard to be cool.
I agree.
And Jason just is.
I agree. I like Travis Kelce. I like TK. I'm a fan. But if you gave me the opportunity to go slam Margs on the beach wearing luchador mask with one or the other, Jason's obviously the dude you want to hang out with.
I don't know what those things that you're slamming is, but
margaritas?
Oh, okay. You said Margs.
Margs.
You shortened some things, and I'm like, what the heck is he talking about? But because it's alcohol lingo, it's probably I don't know because it's alcohol lingo. But in this case, I think you just made that up.
I did not. Margs. I actually at one point owned a shirt that had the word water on it crossed out with Margs written underneath it. Big fan.
Because I love
vacation shirt.
Segues. The first thing that's Xing is champagne problems.
Speaking of segues, Rashad Beard just texted me. He will be on the show tomorrow. So we'll get Rashad back. Missed him last week. Cool. With the week before the draft. Be good to have him back. Champagne problems. I am going to assume, great one, that this is going to fall under the same category as like first world problems.
Apparently it's a Taylor Swift song.
Oh, well, that's why.
Which also segues everything that
back
we
away
just,
from TK.
Yeah,
perfect.
Everything that we were just talking about. Courtney Love, I guess, has talked about the fact that someone is not a very good artist. Talking about Taylor Swift. Yeah, I know.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, no. If Courtney Love says you're not a good artist.
The foremost.
Oh, no.
Authority on all things that are.
When I think about good, and don't get me wrong, like Courtney Love had, like Hole was pretty good for a while there. Was it Garbage? Which one was she in?
She was in Hole.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Garbage was the Irish.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Listen, Courtney Love had some good stuff. But I promise you, when I think to myself about the arbiter of what I'm allowed to enjoy, Courtney Love ain't it. I'm not exactly. You know why Tay Tay's popular? Because she speaks to just regular people who have day-to-day emotions. Not everything's got to be so deep. Hey, Creed's coming to town. No reason.
Okay. That didn't sound like Creed to me. It sounded like a band from Canada. But, you know,
let's do another topic.
All right. Chris Paul is exiting.
CP3. I am a CP3 guy. I thought CP3 kind of needed something to happen for him for legacy purposes, because every time we have discussions about point guards, he's ignored.
Speaking of which.
Yes, Golden State's eliminated.
Yeah,
we know.
Yeah, but it tarnishes his legacy because for the first time in like 18 years, CP3 is not going to the playoffs.
Yeah.
So he switched teams, went to Golden State, followed the road of Kevin Durant.
And his old team, by the way, is locked in.
Yeah. So didn't work out too well for him. It's what a shame, you know?
I mean, listen.
I like Chris Paul.
But they needed a legitimate backup for Curry. That actually, I thought, was a good move. I feel bad for CP3 because I don't think he's on the Mount Rushmore of point guards, but the longevity that he has brought to the league, he deserves to be mentioned amongst the all-timers. And I think that loss last night kind of dinged him in that regard, which is a bummer, dude.
All right, last thing that's X-ing.
I said dude a lot today.
You did, bro. The last thing that's X-ing is Lakers in six.
Lakers getting beat in six.
That's trending. It's X-ing.
I'll tell you right now, I hope all y'all, go throw money at the Lake Show to win over the Nuggets. I'm just going to wait for Denver's odds to keep dropping down to their longest spot, and then I'm going to hammer them because, for the record, the Pelicans wouldn't beat the Nuggets either. Nikki Liokic is going to eat my dudes. Y'all have a great rest of your day. Thanks for being here. We'll see you tomorrow. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. Have a lovely rest of your Wednesday. It's the Rob Brown Show. It is the Fan Upstate. Yeah!